That's all right. Technology, it's great when it works, and it's frustrating when it doesn't. All right, well, today we're going to begin a series of sermons on the I Am sayings found in John's Gospel. There's I Am the Bread of Life, which we're looking at today. I am the light of the world. I am the door, gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am the true vine. So these seven sayings all indicate that Jesus is making God present for us. You know, Jesus is speaking as God. And in the Old Testament, God identifies himself in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, as I am who I am. And in these sayings, Jesus is saying that I too am the God who is I am who I am. So if we want bread, and that is spiritual food that lasts forever, we are to come to Jesus to be fed. If we want light to find our way in this dark world, then Jesus is that light. If we want to find the way to God, we come to Jesus who is the way to heaven and the gate to the end. If we want to rise to new life after death, then only Jesus can give us that gift. And if we want care and protection along life's way, then Jesus offers this as the Good Shepherd. And if we want to know the presence of God in our life, then we need to receive Jesus as the true vine. So today we're looking at I Am the Bread of Life. So what do you think of when you think of bread? Lunchtime. Leanne told me she cut 50 loaves up, I think, this week it was, of bread, so I think she's over bread at the moment.
Toast.
Oh, yeah, breakfast club. Yeah. When I think of bread, I think of when I was in my late teens and we first got our bread maker. Remember when they came out and they were really popular? You might still have one, and I know Linda makes a lot of her own bread. You don't use a bread maker, you do it. So each night my dad would like put the bread mix into the bowl thing, and put some water in it, some yeast, turn it on and it would be on a timer, and we'd wake up each morning to the delicious smell of freshly baked bread. You know, it would be warm, it would be hot, so you'd put butter on it, it would melt into it. For me, it was heaven. I love bread. And I've got to say, it's making me hungry too, the smell of freshly baked bread still makes my mouth water. The saliva's already going just thinking about it. But you know, we live in an affluent Western society where bread really is a special treat that's added to our already rich diet. You know, we might miss it, but we can live without it. I'm an example of that. I haven't eaten bread in over 2.5 years. That's something I miss, I'll be honest. Okay. But in contrast, in the Mediterranean world of Jesus' day, bread was the most important and basic part of their diet. If you had some bread and some water, or maybe even a little wine, you had a meal. If you had in addition some fish or some red meat, a slice of cheese or a few dates, you ate very well. The grains of the Middle East, which were mainly wheat and barley, were used to make the bread. In the East, rice is probably what would be the equivalent, because you can simply eat it by boiling it. So when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was not saying, you know, I'm like that freshly baked loaf from Baker's Delight with sesame seeds on top. But he's saying, I am what you need to live. I am the only one who can really nourish you along life's journey so that your hunger and thirst are gone, and you can live a life of peace. When Jesus spoke of himself as the bread of life, his Jewish listeners would immediately have thought of Moses, who fed the Israelites in the wilderness with bread. So it's not surprisingly that someone in the crowd in the reading we read earlier, someone in the crowd said, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And in reply, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You may revere Moses, but I offer you something that Moses could not offer. I do not give you bread that decays and only feeds the body. I give you bread that offers eternal life. Now, all the Gospels talk about the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves, barley loaves and two fish. Remember that story? Might have learned it in Sunday school. Well, the account that we read earlier was an account by John of what took place subsequent to this and what Jesus said by explanation. So John tells us that the next day, a large crowd again came to Jesus. And this time Jesus reprimanded them, saying that they'd only come hoping to be fed again. Yep. He said that what they should do is seek after the true bread from heaven, the bread that gives life to the world. And the crowd took Jesus' words literally. You know, they wanted as much of this bread as they could have. So they cried out, "Give us this bread always." But in reply, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It is clear that Jesus is speaking metaphorically here, or pictorially. You know, the bread that Jesus offers gives eternal life and quenches spiritual thirst. Does not relieve physical hunger or thirst. And coming to Jesus for this bread is not a literal coming as one might come to a shop that sells bread. It's about believing, coming to Jesus to find eternal life and salvation. Jesus does not say, you know, come to church each week and you will get the bread of life. Or working for the poor and needy will earn you the bread of life. Or believing in God will give you the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life, and he gives this bread to those who believe in him. That is, those who recognise that in Jesus, God is at work to save, and so they trust him. What this comment brings to our attention is that the "I am" saying, and all the others, is that Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the good news. He's the one that offers bread that truly satisfies. He's the one who lights our way in this dark world. He's the gate to eternal life, and he is the good shepherd and the true vine. And in the sixth of these "I am" sayings, this Jesus focus cannot be missed when he says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We might ask, you know, the reading we read earlier, well, how did the Jewish people miss the point when Jesus spoke of bread that truly satisfies? Why did they first think of ordinary bread that they could eat? Well, the answer is because they were just like us. The material rewards of life were more pressing and attractive than spiritual rewards. What they wanted was an unending supply of bread that could just make their life, their daily life, easier. Now imagine one night if we had a dream and we heard Jesus say to us in our dream, "I have a wonderful gift for you." Now I bet most of us would say, "Well, how much money are you giving me, Jesus? Or is it a new car? A great holiday?" You know, we so easily count our blessings in material terms. Everything we are and have is a gift from God, including all our material blessings. And it's not bad to have material blessings. I'm not saying that. However, Jesus' teaching constantly reminds us that there's something more important than money, homes, cars, family holidays. It's a relationship with God revealed in Christ Jesus and made present through the Holy Spirit. If we want life in all its fullness, then we need most of all the bread that Jesus alone can give. And only this can sustain us along life's journey and prepare us for the life to come. You know, this time three years ago, I was managing a drug and alcohol rehab like Canberra Recovery, but up on the Central Coast, and it was a place called Sela. And Sela's in the Psalms, and it talks about in the Psalms you pause and reflect. So the Salvation Army, in its wisdom, named this centre Sela so that the women that came there could pause and reflect on their life. But 3 years ago, it wasn't a place where I could pause and reflect. I wanted to resign from officership and walk away completely from the Salvation Army. I'd been there for 3 years, I think it was. It had been a really, really tough appointment. And I felt that the Salvation Army, and even down to that God, had abandoned me in that place. I wasn't living on the bread of life, on his manna. And I really struggled and didn't know what to do. And whenever I prayed, I just felt God wasn't listening. He just wasn't there. And it got to the point where we had staff that were leaving. What was happening was they were merging a men's centre and a women's centre together, and as staff left, we weren't allowed to replace them. And it got to the point where I was doing the job of 5 people in that centre, and it was just crazy. And no matter how much I jumped up and down and screamed and yelled for help, which was really difficult for me to do, I can be quite independent, I felt that, you know, I was at the end of my tether, I was about to go over the cliff, and was, yeah, seriously considering resigning from officership. But it kept coming back to me that I kept having to trust in God. I knew God had called me to be a Salvation Army officer. I knew he had appointed me under the Salvation Army appointment system to that place. But my trust had been broken, and that was trust by, you know, the hierarchy above me that had been broken, some trust by some of the staff that I had that had broken that trust as well. But when it came back to it, it all came back to that I needed to make sure that I was spending time with God every day, that I was getting fed spiritually by communicating with God and having that time with him, and being able to just trust in God that no matter what chaos was going on around me in my life, that he was going to get me through that. Yeah, so I just thought I'd share that with you today, that, you know, and I look at it 3 years down the track. You know, they moved me to THQ, which was an interesting place to be. But from there, I was able to come here, which has been great. And I can look back at the last 3 years and just see how God has really worked in my life and the healing that's taken place in that. And I'm really grateful for that. But that trust is still there. It sort of wavered, but it never broke, that trust with God. And part of that was the fact that I had to daily go to him, you know, daily do my devotions, spend that time with God so that he could spiritually feed me with his bread of life. So I want you just to listen one last time to what Jesus says. He says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And I just really encourage you today to make sure that each day you're spending time with God so that he can feed you with his bread of life. Oh yeah, breakfast club? Yeah. When I think of bread, I think of when I was in my late teens and we first got our bread maker. Remember when they came out and they were really popular? You might still have one. And I know Linda makes a lot of her own bread. You don't use a bread maker, you do it. So each night my dad would like put the bread mix into the bowl thing, and put some water in it, some yeast, turn it on and it would be on a timer, and we'd wake up each morning to the delicious smell of freshly baked bread. You know, it would be warm, it would be hot, so you'd put butter on it, it would melt into it. For me, it was heaven. I love bread. And I've got to say, it's making me hungry too, the smell of freshly baked bread still makes my mouth water. The saliva's already going just thinking about it. But you know, we live in an affluent Western society where bread really is a special treat that's added to our already rich diet. You know, we might miss it, but we can live without it. I'm an example of that. I haven't eaten bread in over 2.5 years. It's something I miss. I'll be